Welcome to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. Here's Connie.
Welcome to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.net. I'm your host, Connie Whitman. So I hope weekly, as you listen to the show, between my guests and myself, the tips, strategies, and ideas we share with you, I really hope you take them and implement them ASAP. And that's really the objective of the show. No matter what change that you're navigating, whether it's personally or professionally, hopefully my guests and myself, our tips and ideas are implemented immediately. Action gets results, right? So do me a favor. If you guys have been enjoying the episodes, please go on Apple Podcasts, rate me, put your love notes in there for me. I actually read this stuff and would appreciate those reviews and ratings. And if you watch on YouTube, please subscribe to the channel so you guys get me in your inbox or however that stuff goes on the back end of the internet so you find me easy peasy. So thanks so much. Of course, I have to start with my motivational quote, and my motivational quote is by the amazing Benjamin Franklin, and he says, "An investment in knowledge pays the best interest." Now, do you feel that your business financials are just too complicated to understand? Is your business making money every quarter? Do you know where to start if you're feeling overwhelmed on that financial front? And do you know which numbers you should actually be paying attention to and why? Guess what? Of course, I have an expert that we're going to talk about all of these things, but I do want you to start thinking about those questions so that you really are in listening mode with my guest today. So my guest is Adam Lind, and Adam has been an accountant and business owner for over 15 years. He built a multi-million dollar business that grew to be a leader in his industry. After realizing that his passion is actually teaching and helping business owners improve their business, he's now on a mission to help 10,000 business owners make more money. Sounds good to me. Now, Adam and his team created a proven process to help business owners make more money from their business in less time and with less stress. He's put together a team of energetic CFOs to help his clients make more money. Now, the CFOs seek to understand their clients' current situation and then help them develop a custom plan to improve their business. And he calls it the CFO Project. And we're going to talk all about that and so much more. Please help me welcome Adam to the show. So, Adam, thanks for being on.
Oh, I'm really excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so I almost ad-libbed a little bit during my intro to say, you know, CFO, accountant, and everybody went, oh, no, and you're so not that, you know? You've got a great sense of humor. You speak upbeat, so I think everybody's going to really learn but laugh along the way and really hear what you're going to say because you're anything but dry. So, yeah, I wanted to...
I appreciate that.
Yeah, because, you know, dude, people, like, are listening. They're like, yeah, Con, no, not an accountant, not today, you know, especially if it's a Monday or Tuesday that they're driving with us, right? So let's jump into the questions because, let's face it, Adam, this is a super important question. Business owners need to do this. And I think your accountant who does your annual stuff, right? But there's so much more that really needs to be done so that you zero in on where are we hemorrhaging money, where are we losing money, where can we make more money, all of those things. So why are financials of a business so complicated for most of us business owners to be able to, you know, kind of figure out?
Yeah, great question. Let's actually take a step back and all get on the same page as to why we're in business in the first place. Mm-hmm. What's the point of a business? It's to make money, right? The point of a business is to make money for the owner. Now, the owner, you, whoever's listening, can do with that money what you want. You can reinvest it back in the business. You can pay off debt. You can hire more people. You can do more marketing. You can give it all away to charity. It doesn't matter. But the whole point of a business is to make money. Money, cash, I suppose called positive cash flow, having more money flowing in your bank account than leaving, you know, that money that's left over, that's positive cash flow. That's what you want to keep. That's the whole point of your business. Now, to your question, the reason why numbers and financial stuff is so confusing is because business owners traditionally have a couple of resources to learn about money. You can go to your bookkeeper or your accountant, but sometimes they seem like they're speaking another language. They're just confusing. And the reason is because their job, what they're getting paid for, is to record what happened in the past properly. That's their job. They're not getting paid to help you really understand what your number's telling you or what to do to improve the future. Their job is to make sure that the bookkeeping is correct, the reports are right, the IRS is happy, and your taxes are paid. That's their job. That's what they're getting paid for. That's what they're good at. Now, that's the first resource that most people turn to, is their bookkeeper or their accountant, because they're the numbers people. Sure. The second resource that most people turn to are their financial reports, like the income statement or balance sheet, you know, statement of cash flows. The problem with those things is that those reports were made for accountants, not business owners. I mean, I don't know, you know, I was trained in accounting. I got an accounting degree. I was an accountant. And yet those reports can be downright confusing. I can only imagine people that have no idea, no idea about debits or credits or the accounting, concepts. They have to be looking at these reports like they're written in Greek. Well, so we have two different things, your bookkeeper and accountant, your financial advisors, if you will, and then your financial report. Both of those things are just confusing. And so it's really not the fault of the business owner, because, you know, the accountant's speaking a different language because they're getting paid to do that. The reports are made for accountants, not really business owners. So that's why numbers are just so confusing. So wrapping that all up to the point of your business is to make money. So all you need to know when you just need to know the few things that drive that, how to make more money. And there are a handful of things that drive that. And that's all you need to know. You don't need to know any of the other stuff.
Yeah. So let your accountant, bookkeeper do all of the bookkeeping, right? That record keeping. So like you said, we don't get in trouble with the IRS and all of that stuff. But it's funny because, you know, my undergraduate is business. My MBA is finance. And like you said, debit, yeah, I know what that is. Yeah, I know what a balance sheet is. Yeah, I know how to look at it. But how do you look at it from that lens or that perspective or framework where, sure, what do I need to do to make better cash flow? That's like another whole. So that's the deep interpretation of those numbers to create cash flow, right? That's really what we're talking about. So right. Whole different lens, whole different perspective. And as you were describing all of that, I'm laughing thinking, I just email my account, like with the PPP loans. I was like, what do I need to do? How do I do this? When do I have to get the report? Like, just tell me what to do. What do I need to save? And then I'm sending it to you, dude. Like, I don't even want to look at anything else because I'm bored by it. That's why I'm not an accountant, right? I'd rather have pins in my eyes than do that deep analysis of numbers. Okay. Go ahead.
No. That's exactly a good point. The PPP loan, a lot of people took that out because that's a compliance thing. You have to have your ducks in order to apply for this loan and all this. That's what accountants do. That's what they're good at. But that's not helping you know how you can improve your business. That's you right. need to know how to improve your business. It's like being forced to learn the ins and outs of a car engine before you drive. No. Like, your goal is to get in the car and drive somewhere. As a business owner, your goal is to get in your vehicle, your business, and take it somewhere. You don't really need to know how the engine and everything works. And you have mechanics for that.
And it's so funny because this is such a different perspective, right? That as a business owner, I have my accountant, so he does all my financials. This is that little shift. And I hope my business owners are really listening to this because we're good at what we're good at, which is our business and making money doing that. So to have to do this analysis and evaluation is time consuming, which means that I'm not making business on the flip side because, right. And Adam, I think you find this frequently too with business owners. I could do that. I have an MBA in finance. I could do that. No, maybe I could. I'm intelligent. I don't have the first desire to do it. Again, pins in my eyes, right?
Well, yeah, I agree with you. There is a, and don't get me wrong, business owners need to understand their numbers, But the reason why they don't understand their numbers is because accountants and bookkeepers and those financial reports make it so confusing.
Yes.
So you do need to know your numbers. And I have a very simple way to know your numbers. I'm just saying you don't have to know accounting or talk the talk of accounting. Because you're right. It's boring. People don't. I mean, in the day, business owners are busy. Somebody that starts a hair salon probably is doing it because they like that industry.
That's right.
Not because they want to, learn finance.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So first question that everybody's thinking, all right, this sounds great. I get the concept. So how do I make more money?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. And there's really just five things that business owners need to do to make more money. Okay. Now, the first thing is very simple. Whether you work with somebody like me or my team or somebody else, you can do this all on your own. The very first thing you need to do to make more money is understand where you were for the past 12 months for just eight numbers. And I'll go into eight numbers in just a second. But just where were you for the past 12 months for eight numbers? So these eight numbers add up to profit and cash flow.
Okay.
Okay. So where were you? The second step is to set goals. I call them targets. To set targets for the next 12 months for these eight numbers. Okay? Then every single month, this is step three. Once you have where you were for the past 12 months, you set targets for where you want to go. And then step three is every single month, you monitor where you actually did for this past month for those eight numbers. Then in step four, now that you know, if you're monitoring where you were, monitoring where you want to go, and then monitoring where you actually are, now you have an idea of what's preventing you from hitting your profit and cash flow targets.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then in step four, create a plan, an action. I call it an action plan. And choose of the eight numbers, just choose up to three, two to three, one's even better, of the most important eight numbers that need to be worked on. Because as a business owner, anybody listening can attest to this, you're busy. You're fighting fires, you're talking to customers, you're doing marketing, you're producing the product, whatever you do, you're in your business day to day, but you've got to carve out time to work on the business. And if you're going to take time to work on the business, you might as well be working on the most important thing that will accomplish the main point of a business, which is to make more money. So that action plan will help you focus on the one, two, or three, I usually say never more than three things that the business needs to focus on in order to make more money. And then step five is execute. Once you have the plan, execute it.
Action.
And there's certain things that have to be included in order to execute it, but those are the five things. It's very simple. Anybody can do this. And I'll go over those eight numbers if you want, but the key is to keep it simple and only work on the things that matter. And how do you know what things that matter? Those eight numbers will tell you if you're on track or off track.
See, this is so fascinating. It's the 80-20 rule, right? We spend 80% of our time generating 20% of the result, where we should be spending the 20% of our time. That's what you're saying. Focus on that 20% of our time that's generating the 80%. So now
focus on what's going to move the ball forward the most.
Say that again.
Focus on what's going to move the ball forward the most.
Right. That's right. So yeah. If I focus on what's going to make me the most money and I put more time into that, there's the blip in more money, right? So it's what we focus on. That's what we end up with the results. But we're spending so much of our time in the minutiae that we're not focusing on what the money making things are, right? So I think if some business owners are overwhelmed and they're thinking that now we have to do another thing, what do you say to them? Is it as simple as here are the five steps? And you know what then? Tell me what are the eight things I should be looking at.
Right.
That'll help with the overwhelm, well, right?
Yeah, and part of the reason why it's overwhelming is because you at the end of the month, the bookkeeper does whatever they do to do the books, to close the books. And they give you a couple reports. One of them is the income statement. QuickBooks calls it the profit and loss statement. And at the very top, it says profit, sorry, it says revenue, and then you have a list of expenses, and then you have net profit. Well, if you had a good month, and you thought it was a good month, you look at that, and you're like, great, but you're really not sure how you had that great of a month. And if you had a, if you thought you had a bad month, or your bank account's telling you you had a bad month, you look at that report, and you're like, oh, that is depressing. You're really still not sure how you arrived at that. What needs to change?
Yeah.
And the problem is that the revenue, the top number on that report, is what's called a lagging indicator. It basically tells you what happened in the past. It's like driving by just simply looking out your rearview mirror.
Right.
You need to look out the windshield.
That's right.
And know where you want to go and know how to influence that number.
That's right.
And so, there's really just eight things that you should be paying attention to. So the eight things, very simply, the first thing is number of, and these are all numbers. Oh yeah, but they're simple numbers. You can track them. The first is the number of leads that you're getting. So how many leads did you get the past 12 months? How many leads do you want to get for the next 12 months? And then you can start tracking them. So a lead is anybody, of course, that you've attracted through your marketing efforts. You know, you spent time and money getting a lead, so you want to start tracking them. The second is a conversion rate. This is a percentage. What percentage of those leads convert into an actual customer? So that's your conversion rate. Number three is retention rate. How many past customers can you get to come back and purchase this year? Number four is frequency rate. Once you get a customer, whether it's a new customer or a customer you've retained, once you get them, how many times can you get that one customer to purchase? The frequency of their purchase in this 12-month period that you're tracking.
That's great.
And then number five is your average purchase value. So once you get a customer to make those purchases, you want to get start tracking the value of each purchase to get to hopefully improve the amount of money they're spending on each purchase. Now, those are the first five of the eight things. All five of those add up to revenue. And here's what I mean. When somebody gets their income statement for last month and they look at it, the first number they look at is revenue. Well, do you have a marketing problem? Or do you have a sales problem? Or are you not charging enough? Or are you not retaining your customers enough? That one number, revenue, is not going to tell you that.
Absolutely.
You need to know the five things. And for example, I was working at a client, came to me about 3 years ago, they were focused on revenue. And they were doing great. They were about $1.5 million in revenue. And all their efforts were on revenue because they thought that they had a loss of the prior year, about $250,000 loss. And so they thought, all right, I'm going to work my way out of it by just increasing sales, increasing revenue. And so they were spending more money on marketing to get more leads. They didn't have a marketing problem. They didn't have a lead problem. They were getting plenty of leads. What they had was they weren't charging enough for each of those services. They were a service-based business. And so we had them stop the bleeding by stopping the marketing spend. And then divert efforts to working on the services that they offered by increasing the average value of a transaction. And so now they're still a client, and 3 years ago they had a $250,000 loss. This year they're slated to do about a $350,000 profit. And it's largely without growing their sales. Because think about it. Somebody looks at their income statement and say, oh, I had a horrible month in revenue. Let's spend more money in marketing. Let's buy more billboards. Let's do some Facebook ads. Let's, partner. I had a client partner with a baseball stadium, and they bought a $25,000 billboard at a baseball stadium because, what if you don't have a lead problem? What if you don't need more leads? What if you have a sales problem? You're just not converting enough yourself.
Yeah.
You don't know those things until you start tracking them. And that's what I'm saying. That's why the income statement is not a great report for business owners.
Yeah.
It's a perfect report for accountants, not a great report for a business owner. So you need your own report. Those first five numbers are the first five things on your report.
And I just want to comment. So like the profit and loss and all those other accounting statements, they're static, right? Because they're past. It's a snapshot. Right. Really, it's just a snapshot. What you're talking about are dynamic numbers where they're fluid, they're moving, and you literally have control every day of where you spend the dollars, what your conversion rate is, improving your right on sales. So improving your sales conversations so that people go, oh yeah, I need this versus I got to think about it. Right. So that whole piece, marketing, what if your marketing phraseology is off and you're attracting the wrong kind of client? So all of those pieces, it's fluid, it's moving, and we have direct control today to change that.
Right.
Okay.
You're absolutely right.
Awesome. 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 Okay. What are the last?
You don't know what to focus on until you start tracking it.
That's right.
It's like taking a trip from New Jersey to Orlando, Florida, and every 100 miles, somebody hands you a report that says, "Here's where you were. Here's the past 60 miles looked like." Who cares? You need to know what the next 60 miles, next 100 miles, so you stay on the right road get to your destination the fastest.
That's right. Right. The easiest and fastest. Right. That's really we're looking to do. This is fascinating. What are the last three?
All right. So number six is your gross profit. And by the way, all eight of these numbers you want to increase. You want to increase each one of those eight numbers. So number six is your gross profit. So when you make a sale, let's say a pizza restaurant, you sell a $10 pizza to somebody. They pay you $10 for a large pizza. Well, of course, there's cost involved in making that pizza. So like the dough, the pepperoni, the cheese, the employee that's making it, that's your cost to provide the sale. And so if you have your sale minus your cost, that equals gross profit. So you want to get that number as high as possible. So if you sell a pizza for $10 and it costs you $4 to make it, your gross profit is six. How can you get that $6 higher?
Lower
your cost. Shop around other vendors. See if you can get lower cheese prices. You can also raise your price to $10 to $10.50. there's a lot of ways, but the point is you have to increase gross profit. Now, gross profit is number six. And then number seven is your net profit. You want to increase your net profit. So if we have the first five numbers focused on revenue, then the sixth number focuses on gross profit. Number seven focuses on net profit. Well, the one thing we haven't covered yet is expenses. So if you focus on gross profit and you want to increase your net profit, your fixed expenses, we've got to improve. So if you're improving your gross profit, how can we get your net profit up? Working on your expenses. Now so if you're making a $10,000 gross profit, let's say you made $50,000 in revenue and $10,000 gross profit. So from revenue, you kept $10,000 in gross profit. From gross profit, you have to subtract all your overhead expenses like rent, insurance, things like that. That gets your net profit. Okay? So let's say that you have $10,000 in gross profit and you have $6,000 in expenses. That means you have $4,000 net profit. So how do you increase your net profit? Either reduce your expenses or, of course, increase your gross profit. Here's the thing with expenses, though. That I had a conversation with an accountant last week who sort of argued with me on this point. He says that businesses need to focus on reducing your expenses. I don't think that's the case. The whole point of an expense is to spend money to get that money to make you money.
Absolutely.
So why would you want to reduce it? Why would that be your goal? If you spend $10,000 on marketing, if every $10,000 on marketing you spend, you get $30,000 back. I want to spend $10,000 all day long if it makes sense for the business.
Absolutely.
So I'd rather spend $1 million a day on expenses if I know that I'm getting a good return on it. Like I used to have an e-commerce store. Go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say, I get where he's coming from with that perspective, because if I'm throwing money away, I'm leaving the lights on all night because I forget to turn them off. You're throwing money away. That's ridiculous. So you want to monitor your expenses so you're not throwing money away. But if the expense that you're putting out there, like you said, $10,000 in marketing, and I'm getting $30,000, I have a sales person who's generating, I pay him $5,000 a month, and he's bringing in $25,000 of business. I might want to give him a piece of the business, or because I don't want it to go somewhere else. So I'm going to make sure maybe I do pay him more, because if I keep him happy, right, my expense might have gone up, but long term, he gets a better following. We get more cross selling. So you have to make sure you're spending your expenses are spending on the right thing that are giving you a return on that investment, that expense.
Exactly. So the goal is not, it's just like you said, it's a shift in mindset. The goal is not to reduce your expenses. The goal is to get every expense to make money for
Correct. You. That's correct.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was seven. Okay.
Number seven. Yeah. And the last one is increased cash flow. So once you make a profit, you got to turn that profit into cash. Here's where a lot of businesses mess up, is that they make a profit, but they have a hard time turning into cash, and so they have no money in their bank account. And here's an example.
Yeah.
Let's say you own a roofing company, and you sold a roofing job for $10,000. So you have revenue of $10,000. Let's say out of all the expenses and costs at the end of the day, you've kept $2,000. That's your net profit. Okay. So let's say the customer that you land the job, you're excited, you start hiring the subcontractors and you buy all these materials to do the roof and you start on the roof. Let's say it's been 60 days, the roof's done, the customer never pays you. So you made a revenue, you have $10,000 in revenue from that one job. You made a profit of $2,500 because you pay, after all the expenses and all that. On paper, it looks fantastic. You made a $2,500 profit from that job. What if the customer never pays you? You not only have no cash, you have negative cash because you had to pay those suppliers.
Absolutely.
You had to pay those subcontractors. So that's one example of how service-based businesses get into trouble. Another is like with retailers. Let's say you open a retail store selling pet supplies. Well, you got to stock your store with inventory. Say you go out and buy $50,000 worth of inventory before you even open. You're now out cash flow $50,000, and until you can sell that inventory, you're not going to have positive cash flow. And so it's very important to not only make a profit, but turn that profit into cash, which is another reason why the income statement is not a great report for business owners, because it doesn't matter how much you make in profit, it matters how much you get to keep.
Yeah.
And so there's all sorts of ways, strategies to do that. I just mentioned two with the inventory and you're monitoring your accounts receivable, the number of days it takes for a client to pay you. But those are the eight things. The first five relate to revenue. Number six and seven relate to expenses somehow. And then number eight is taking all of that and turning it into cash that you get to keep.
Adam, it sounds so simple, yet I'm telling you as a business owner, and this as a business owner, we have so many balls in the air that, right. I'll look at that tomorrow. I have this fire to put out today. I have this client call, right? Because we're bringing in new business.
It's difficult. It's hard.
It's so hard. So how do you help people? How do you help people specifically? Because what you and Jeff are doing, his partner is his name is Jeff. How do you guys help businesses continue to become? To stay in business, obviously, but to become more successful. For me,
to make more money.
To make more money, exactly. Success in this case is well, a couple of things, right? Is to make more money, but to create less stress because I'm focusing on the things I need to. So that overwhelm we talked about at the beginning,
and doing things that you'd rather be doing.
That's exactly right. But so we're reducing stress, we're reducing overwhelm, and by the way, we're helping you make more money. How do you do that for the client?
So those five things, those five steps that I talked about, we do that for the client. So we study where they were. We help set goals with the client for where they want to be. We do it for this year and for the next 5 years. And then we track every single month. We study their numbers. You know, those five steps are just the surface. There are a lot of things we do behind the scenes. But those are the five. If you're going to do it on your own, you just need to do those five steps. You'll be way ahead of most businesses. But we do a bunch of things behind the scenes too. But we study, you know, we set those goals and we study your numbers every month to see where you are. And then we build you an action plan. We meet with you via video call, just like on Zoom, Skype or whatnot. And we say, all right, here are the two or three things that you and your team need to do this month in order to stay on track to hit your targets for the year. We've already identified them. Do you agree with them? Let's look at them. And then we'll strategize on how to make it happen.
That's awesome.
And then that way the business owner doesn't have to worry about accounting. They can focus on what they do best.
That's right.
And usually what the business owner, in order to be a happier business owner with less stress, less overwhelm, it's usually doing things that's in their skill set, doing things they'd rather do. Like, you know, somebody that's a fantastic cook that owns this, you know, restaurant, why would you have them spend 90% of their time in the office? They're going to be burnt out. They're going to have a horrible business because of that.
Yeah.
They're going to sell it and they're going to say, oh, business ownership's not for me.
Yeah.
They need to focus. They need to be the best cook. If that's why they started a business, they need to do that the best. Yeah. But that 10% of time that they do spend on their business needs to be on the most important things that move the business forward. And we'll tell them what that is.
Yeah. And you know, I should be doing my genius and let you guys do your genius, which
Absolutely.
Is doing all, and you have systems in place to keep it easy peasy for me. But as you were speaking, I kept thinking a laser, like a laser beam. You help me laser beam where I am, where I need to go, but you give me that bridge of how to actually do it with those
right.
monthly reviews. So when I met with Jeff, and that's how I met Adam through Jeff, met through a networking thing. And he said it's like a CFO for hire, right? That's kind of like what you guys do. So because here's the other thing too, you know, for me to hire a CFO is ridiculous. I could never do that. I couldn't afford to do that. And it just, to have somebody on payroll like that is just not worth it.
Well, you don't need one.
I don't.
And here's the thing, Amazon.com or Microsoft or Apple need CFOs. They're giant companies.
That's exactly right.
But here's the thing though, what a CFO really does at the end of the day is track a business's money and helps the business make more money. That's what a CFO does.
Yeah.
Well, big businesses have them because they need them, but every business needs somebody to help them make more money.
That's exactly.
So not every business needs a CFO, but every business needs what a CFO does.
That's right.
And so that's why we actually started this. It's called the CFO Project. We're not giving you a full-time CFO. You don't need one. But we are giving you somebody to meet with on a monthly basis to do the things that a CFO would do for those large companies.
Yeah, it's
at a price that's affordable.
It's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. So yeah, I love it. When I met Jeff and then I met you, I'm like, this makes so much. What a great business. But what a great business model, because I can't afford to hire a CFO, but I need that person, right, that expert, so that I could do what I do, you do what you do. And oh, by the way, we're all making money along the way, right? It's that penny wise, dollar foolish. I could do it myself. And I learned this more recently than I would like to admit. I can't do everything myself. I don't want to do everything myself. And by spending some money, you end up making exponentially more money. You just have to know where to spend the money. So this
Absolutely.
To me is an important topic, because we're talking about watching the money. And that's kind of an important concept for a business.
Right.
Yeah, totally. Now you have something coming up soon. Right? Don't you have something coming up?
I have a book, called Make More Money. It's applicably named. It's actually just came out last week, Make More Money. And if anybody wants to, I'm glad you brought that up. I completely forgot about it. just because it literally just came out. But if anybody wants that book, I'll give you a free copy. Just go to the CFOproject.com.
Nice.
/moneybook.
Nice. You'll give me that link. Because, guys, what I'll do is I'll put that on the show notes so that you could get that free book. But I think it's a good start, right, to get familiar with Adam, what the CFO project, what they're doing, and then you can determine whether it's a good fit for you. But yeah, you and Jeff are just super, super nice guys on top of your genius, right, of following the money, so to speak, to make sure that every dollar's working for us. So the CFOproject.com, and then what was the book again? CFO
/ moneybook.
Moneybook. Okay, moneybook.
Yeah, all one word.
Yeah, it's so easy to remember. So yeah. I will post that. I will also post Adam's email, which is adam@thecfoproject.com, so that if you have questions after you get the book, of course, you can have a chat with him and figure out where you need to go. Adam, thank you so much for sharing just such valuable information.
Of course.
And, you know, 2020 has kind of been like an upside down crazy.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
We're all still trying to get like our sea legs, you know, from this. We really are. And I said it's like a snow globe when COVID hit, right? Snow globe went crazy. And to some extent, we're still in that snow globe where it's still being shaken up because we really don't know, you know, what 2021 is going to bring.
Right. So nobody really knows anything.
No one, and anybody who says they do, they're out of their mind because no one has a crystal ball. We could forecast and think about, but for me, I like tangibility. So if I can look at my numbers and project, especially in this COVID environment where we start to watch our dollars, I think that's time well spent, money well spent, and it's good to project for what we anticipate happening in 2021. So the CFOproject.com, check it out. Check out Adam@thecfoproject.com. And you guys, please go to my website, WhitmanAssoce.com. There's a resource page. My show is on there. My YouTube connections are on there. You know, my masterclasses are on there. My book, my number one international best-selling book, is on there. WhitmanAssoce.com. That's my hub, baby. Find everything you need to do right through that. So please check it out. Also, please go to the Apple Podcast. Check out my show, Enlightenment of Change. And please rate it, review it. Make your comments. It really does help me grow my digital footprint, which I am really not good at. See, that's the marketing. That's not sales. Two different runways here. But please go and do a review for me. I so appreciate feeling the love from everybody, and I give it right back to you. So thank you again. Thank you, Adam, so much for being on.
Thank you.
Yeah, sharing just such great info. You know, lots of luck with everything. You and I, we're gonna stay in touch, so it's all good on our end. You guys, I hope you will join me weekly as we question, build, and discover together. I don't care what change you're going through. My guests, myself, are hopefully providing those just valuable tips. For me, it's implement now, right? Go get the book from Adam. Get on a call with Adam. You know, get on a call with me, whatever it is. Action, action, action produces results. So seize the moment, right? Don't go to sleep. Move forward. Thank you again, Adam. Thank you all for listening. You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with me, your host, Connie Whitman, on webtalkradio.net. And I really wish you all just a wonderful week where you open to your mind to what is possible. So maybe you need to start looking at your money from a different perspective and realize what your growth and what your financial freedom, financial revenue could look like. Open your mind to what you think is impossible. It's really possible. Thanks, everybody.